Good afternoon, brethren. Anybody awake? Yeah. Yeah, those sicknesses have gotten a lot of us this year, I know, the last of this year. We're looking forward to a new great year, though, 2024. Anybody ready for it? I hope that all of us are seeking to see what we can do for Christ this next new year and seeing what ways we might be able to improve our faith. And certainly, all of us can do better in our life for Christ. And all of us, we don't do everything perfectly, know everything, and we can all strive to do better. And the lesson that I thought that would be appropriate for starting off a new year is, and this is one thing that I've been talking about in my, even in whenever I get into my studies with my wife sometimes, we like to have long study talks of the Bible. One of them is about sin. And sin, you know, being a negative lesson that we can, you know, when we think it would be a very negative lesson, preacher, to start out a new year. Well, I like to talk about it because it's an actual infection. And we talk about all these other infections that we're dealing with and that we're praying for our fellow brethren, which is right for us to do, definitely. But there's one that we should pray for as well. Like when we pray for our fallen brethren or we pray for each other, when we're struggling with some type of sin that we might have, the biggest thing that we need to pray for is our spiritual condition and our spiritual condition moving forward in our Christian life. And understanding ultimately that sin is an infection. Sin is a disease and it's a sickness, a literal sickness, a literal disease. And the only thing that can cure it, really, is staying righteous with God and following God's law. You know, God being the only thing that can ultimately save us from the thing that tries to eat us to death. And the thing that tries to eat us to death being sin again. Isaiah 59, 9 through 15. We've been through this text before in the past. And I thought it one of the best texts to really talk about what sin does to a person. Or what sin does for a person. Isaiah 59, 9 through 15 again. When we sin, we have the temporary pleasure. And it lasts for a very short time. It lasts for 5 seconds. It lasts for an hour. It lasts for 2 hours. But it's like an infection. It switches to another symptom will show up. You know, another thing that we have to do to continue that feeling. It just keeps on going. It gets worse and worse until eventually the symptoms eat you up and the symptoms kill you. And so sin is the same way. Those symptoms, you know, the after effects of sin or ultimately sin itself, eating your spiritual condition and eating your soul, will completely destroy a man, physical and spiritual, against the natural law that God has set up of the human body, of the human universe that we live in, of the physical laws that we have that God set up, and also even the spiritual laws. You know, sin is something that goes against both. It's something that destroys both, and it appears nice. It appears something that's good for us in this new year we're coming in. We're going to have many temptations that we face, many things Satan's going to throw in front of us to try to snare us. He's going to try to take us captive to do His will, as the Scriptures say. But don't let that happen. Don't let sin ensnare you again. Every one of us struggles with sin. Every single one of us. Every one of us has sins, and every one of us is likely, perhaps, to sin again. None of us are perfect. Only Jesus was that. And we all need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash us continually of our sins. And so, that sin, once again, being the disease it is, the most dangerous disease, the temptation appears nice, but in the end it's going to destroy us. It's going to look nice so it can take you in to be its slave and destroy you. In Isaiah 59 and verse 9, if you go read that with me, very well said here in this book by the Holy Spirit and by this prophet as well, Isaiah. Isaiah 59 verse 9, starting there in the first half of that verse. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. And so if you continue through that verse, you'll find out in talking, even to Israel, this prophet is talking about the concept of sin and talking about the concept of how it is to be stuck in the sin that they are stuck in. What it's like to leave God and what it's like to live in sin and be in that state constantly throughout your entire life. We know the Ecclesiastes writer tried it all. Presumably it was Solomon, the man who knew it all because he was given that wisdom by God, and the man that had it all because he was given that prosperity by God. He tried all the sin after that, and ultimately it led to nothing. If that is Solomon, which I very much say it likely is, then he tried it all. It was all nothing. And his conclusion was, fear God and keep His commandments. That's the only thing that is lasting in this life. The only thing that gives you peace. The only thing that gives a man or a woman meaning in this life. A human being gets meaning from being with God, from having a relationship with God. There is nothing more than that that can give meaning, ultimately. Even, you know, with our any relationship we might have in this life, you know, the amount of friends we can have, you know, our spouse, anything. You know, it seems like there's always going to be some type of trouble that might happen between two people, might be some type of issue. But the relationship with God, it's something that can last. It's something that can be continuous. And that is continuously rewarding, something that's continuously loving all the time. And the only problem that might enter is this: is the choice when we choose to sin. Hebrews 11:25, if you turn there and read that with me, it says there, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, and talking about Moses, how he refused, or when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he chose to suffer those afflictions with God's people. Moses, it was a good example in that he actually was able to have that amazing, you know, great position to anybody, a common man's eyes. This guy is able to have all the power and the wealth and the fame, the thing everybody wants. Once again, if everybody was famous, nobody would be famous. And so he could get that special position of being that. But he chose rather to suffer with the people of God. He chose to take on God's call. He chose to lead the people of God. He chose to be a person of God. He didn't choose to join in the pleasures of sin that were likely around Pharaoh's court. He chose to be around God's people, and he chose to live righteously before God. He looked for a way to be saved, and likewise we look for a way to be saved after this life. But the thing that people misunderstand so much is that's not outside of the Scriptures. That's not outside of God's will. The way to be saved is within God's will. God's will gives forth the way and the path in order for us to be able to open the gateway towards the next life. Death is not the end. Death is merely a gateway. And the Scriptures go right in line when we're living in this life that we might live according to the Scriptures so that we might pass through that judgment, Hebrews 9:27, whenever we all pass through this life. Nobody can escape death. It's something that will inevitably come to us all. How many generations have lived on this earth who have passed away? How many sons and daughters and little children have grown up into adults and then passed on from this life generations back? People that are much older than any of us, and they're passed on from this life now. Well, the only thing that could ever get them to live on after that was going to be God. And ultimately, nobody can make their life live forever. Nobody can make this physical life endure forever. And the only way to live on is with God. And to have peace is with God. But we only find darkness and sin. So we might look for light with sin. We might try to find some type of sanctuary or some type of appeasement with sin. In this new year, when we're presented with those temptations, we might have that appeasement. We might, you know, some of us might participate in it once. And we look for light and we think it's good, but then we regret it afterwards. And we understand, what did I just do? And then, if you continue in it, you continue to do it, continue messing up, you might continuously be looking for that light. And looking for a light that ultimately is not there. As really is what's being said here, we look for light, but there is darkness, therefore just as far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness for brightness, but we walk in blackness. So we can only find darkness in sin. We only have the long moment or short moment of pleasure, but then we're not happy anymore again. We still growl like bears, moan sadly like doves. We're like the blind who don't know where they're going in life. And so then we keep on going back to sin over and over. We keep on wanting more. We need something else. That was like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, how they were past the point of feeling, as Jude describes. They were so past the point that they needed to even commit homosexuality. They didn't even want a woman that was offered to them by the person that was in that home at the time, if you remember back with me in the story of Genesis. They wanted the men. And so And definitely people just need that continual serving, need to keep on going to different things. There's no justice or salvation in sin if you continue in that text. You go to verse 10. And remember, we've done this before. We have gone through this text before, but I did see it appropriate to go through it once again starting out this year, because sin is the biggest problem that has ever faced humanity. And I did want to talk about this again. It's always a great reminder to talk about what sin does to a person and what it's trying to do, what its purpose is, or what Satan's purpose is. All these things are important for us to know as Christians. Isaiah 59, verse 10, let's read it. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. And then, of course, if you continue the next verse, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. So sin testifying against them, sin being the thing that's separating them from God, ultimately what's being said here is the fact that they don't have God with them anymore is what makes them depressed, is what makes them the most sad in life. And that's the most terrifying thing if we can think about hellfire for the many. Once again, the Bible describes that the broad way is the way that leads to destruction. So many people will actually be in the destructive eternal destiny that is hell, which is very sad, but nonetheless the truth because of the choices of mankind. But their sin will always testify against them. And it will always be that which separates them from God. And if you let that sin infect you to your death, if you let that sin fester in you like Uzziah did this morning, to your death, to his death, it will be the end of you. It will be the bitter end of you. And think about an eternity in hell. Such a bitter end for such a person who could have chosen to do the right thing, who could have chosen to walk with God, but chose not to. So sin doesn't bring justice or happiness. It only perverts our happiness. It leads our bodies and our souls to destruction. It's something that's not ultimately real in the sense of it being a true happy thing. It's something that's deceiving. Sin wants you to think it's good. It wants you to think it's pleasurable. So that's why it makes it pleasurable. That's why anything that's contrary to God's law, anything that's contrary to what God wants you to do, you know, that's why sin tries to be pleasurable. That's why Satan tries to gear you towards things that are going to be pleasurable, to take you away into sin and consume you. That's the point. Otherwise, it wouldn't work at all. A sin ultimately does not make things better. It's pure evil. It only deceives and it destroys. It destroys men and women of all ages. And it even destroyed angels of heaven. Realize that? When we think about, you know, just mankind being affected by sin, the thing that we don't often remember, as a side note, is that even an angel of heaven in its power, and it's sitting in the domain of God, is willing to leave the domain of God, its proper domain, and choose sin over God. Even though they know the truth that God is real, He exists, they should follow His law, they can have eternal happiness, but their pride, they still want to sin. It's an infection that infects mankind and has infected angels. So it's a serious disease. It infects not just physical entities, which is us, with souls, but it also infects primarily spiritual entities, angels. So how sad that people don't take sin more seriously in our world. It is destroying people left and right. As you look out on that road, my wife just said today, I'm so sad and I'm so upset because I look at all these people out on the road driving, and so many of them are probably not going to be going to heaven. So many of them are probably going to be going to hell. I said, yeah, but all we can do is keep on preaching and teaching the Word. Keep on being examples of what Christ would have us to be. And people will make their own choices. Sometimes you can't choose. Well, you never can change the choices of a person. They ultimately got to make their own choice. Everybody's an adult, you know, except children who are not of the mind of accountability. We all make our own choices. And so we got to, of course, remember that sometimes it's just not our fault, brethren. People are going to make their own choice. And most people, again, the broad way is the way that leads to destruction. More people than not are going to choose to not love God, to not follow the law of God properly. And so hell is there for them. And that's very sad. But as we approach this new year, go with the mindset that we have that hope in Christ. We can share it with others, but they're still going to make their own choices. When you're persecuted and when you're ridiculed or whatever happens for your faith, whenever people are going against you because you're trying to tell them a verse from the Bible, as it said, and now they're ideating or they're making an idea out of, let them be ignorant, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verses 38 through 40. And so, there's no justice in sin. There's no salvation in sin. Nothing about sin is going to be able to save us. Ultimately, it's trying to destroy us. Remember, I've already given this example many times, but with Cain and Abel, what God told him was that sin lies at your door. Its desire is for you. Well, that's the same with all of us. Every individual one of us, sin is an infection. It's a disease. And the only thing, again, that can save us from it is God's salvation, is God's offering of salvation, God's love, His grace, His mercy towards us. He's the only one that can save us. No other pagan god or idea that some man has in a vision can save us. God's the only one. His words are what can tell us how to get away from that infection. All of us have been infected with it before. All of us have been attacked by it before. We've all been tempted. We've all messed up. But we can choose ultimately to not take part in that infection anymore. We can choose to cure it with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in sin, but there is in Jesus Christ. Sin only makes us feel worse in the end. It does the opposite of saving our souls and our bodies. It destroys our bodies and souls. It separates us, cuts off our access from God, creates family problems. It has no ultimate unity as God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit do and try to teach us to have as the church. Likewise, it has no unity. It even fights itself, and it wants righteousness to be destroyed. All of it. It tries to blot out the small lights that are in this dark world. And so we have to continue, once again, to hold fast to our hope, hold fast to our faith in Jesus Christ, and continue on this path that we're on as Christians. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, sin cuts off our access from God, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. You go on to continue in those verses, it will describe even more. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9. We all should know this verse very well. And these two verses. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9. I do hope as well that we're all starting to get better from our different sicknesses. Myself and my wife have also had some sicknesses as well. That is physical, ailments. So I pray for y'all. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9, though. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. More description as far as that judgment day, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints, to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that the judgment is ultimately given to God. So something that we forget whenever we're going about the world in this next year, when we're going about our daily lives and in our job places and our, in the marketplaces, wherever, whenever we go about, when we talk to our physical families as well, those who may not be Christians, remember that ultimately Jesus is the judge. Ultimately God is the judge. Jesus will come again, once again, not to save, but to judge, rather. He's already come to save. He's already giving opportunity until the judgment day comes. But when He comes again, He'll be judging. And He will be judging according to the will of the Father. And all sin, all those who choose to have sin a part of their life, who choose to let sin infect them, who choose to let their bodies control them, let their flesh control them. We've had many lessons about this recently, letting our flesh control us, not what the Christian should be doing. Rather, controlling our flesh and forcing it into submission is what we should be doing as Christians. Don't let those sins destroy you. Don't let desires that are improper, be the death of you spiritually. Sins will destroy you. There will be physical consequences. Romans 6:23, I don't believe, is talking just about spiritual death, but is also talking about physical death. Because in all things, sin will lead to death. Sin will lead to destruction. It wears our bodies down quicker because we're doing things or an excessive amount of things with it that it wasn't created to do or to deal with. Our bodies weren't made to do those sins. Weren't made to participate in those things. They weren't even made to participate in arguing a whole bunch. To participate in being angry, over excessively angry. It's actually studied that the more angry you are in life, the more problem type person you are, the less life you actually live. And so, our bodies are actually supposed to be for the love of God. They're actually made in the sense that we be like God. So sin will ultimately destroy us physically and spiritually. Romans 8:13, if you go there with me. Romans 8:13 says, therefore, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you go back to verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it, indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Understand that if we're choosing to please the flesh rather than to please God, if we're choosing to prioritize the flesh, and we're almost done here, if we're choosing to prioritize the flesh over God, ultimately, that will be our downfall, just as it was Uzziah's. In Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 through 10, if you'd read that with me, we understand that we will reap what we sow. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sow righteousness so you can get the rewards of righteousness. We mentioned that in our class this morning. So run away from the sin that's infecting you. We can look across all the different verses that talk about sin having no part in the kingdom of God, like 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 10, Galatians 5:19 through 21, or Revelation 21 and verse 8. We all know that one very well. But sin separates from God, main thing. And any separation from God is death, because God is the giver of life. He's the one that gave life to our very bones and our very flesh. He allows us to have oxygen in our body so we can continue to live. And so if you want life to continue, you have to do it with God. You can't do it with Satan. You can't do it with yourself or with sin. We have no power to do so. Only God does. James 1, 14 through 15. Certainly I couldn't talk about a lesson, you know, about sin and not go to this section of text. James 1, 14 through 15. Certainly we need to know the process of sin. Start there in verse 13 with me. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. And this is a good set of verses here to talk about those evil things, of course, being that which is not from above. But every good and perfect gift, that being which is from above. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, excuse my word stumbles. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So, we choose it, and some people will choose it, and there will be nothing we can do about it. We keep on giving them the word and trying to lead them back to Christ, but ultimately they will continue choosing that. They will continue to be a prey to sin. If you finish out Isaiah 59, and you finish out that text with me, Starting in verse 12, "For our transgressions are multiplied before you, our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey." It ends out there with talking about us being prey to evil, even though we've left it. So the righteous, however small of a remnant we are, however many of us are left in this world, the few of those that find that narrow way to life, those who choose to be like Jesus Christ, those who choose to live after the doctrine of Jesus Christ, no matter how little we are in number, no doubt we are still a prey to sin and we must be watchful all the time. Always making sure that we take care of our physical bodies and we control them and restrict them from doing sin. Always following God in His way so that we might have that home in heaven, John 14:1-4, talking about those mansions that Jesus promises and is preparing. Great is our reward in heaven after this life for following God and enduring through persecution. So in this next year, once again, if you're trying to find peace, if you're trying to find happiness, if you're upset in life, if you're angry in life, if you're angry at God, if you're angry at something that happened in your life, try not to blame it on God. Don't blame it on God. Don't do it at all. Rather, understand that God is that which can give you hope. And this life is going to have terrible suffering sometimes. It's going to have death. But that's because of sin. Sin is the thing that even breeded death in the beginning. It wasn't God. It was sin. And so remember that likewise that's the case today. And if we choose God, we choose to follow Him this next year and for our entire life, every day, we will live eternally in heaven with God. We will have that peace that surpasses understanding, Philippians 4:7. We will live on. If we choose to live against God, if we choose to live separated from God, there is no life that can continue. We will ultimately be destroyed in the fires of hell. A good lesson to talk about what sin does to a man and a woman, what sin does to the soul, how it corrupts, how it destroys, how it infects, and it gets worse and worse, like in Uzziah's heart it did this morning. Don't ever let that happen to you, and if there is some thing in your heart today, some sin that might be festering in you or might be destroying you as we speak, please, please do not wait, do not hesitate to get that sin right with your God. Of course, to get it completely out of your life. If you have any other need this afternoon, if you need prayers for yourself, for encouragement, or prayers for anybody else, whatever it may be, please let us help you in this way. Let us pray with you. If you're not a Christian, you must believe Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. You must be willing to repent of your sins, be willing to turn from that former life, and you must be willing to confess that Jesus Christ, ultimately, you cannot be saved without Him, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior, and that He is your God. You must be willing to confess that those things, and you must be willing to believe in those things as well. And be baptized, of course, after all that, into water for remission of your sins and to be added to the kingdom of God forever. Remain faithful to death, and He will give us heaven. No matter when we pass from this life, brethren, always remember that as long as we're doing the best that we can for Christ, sincerely, we will make it. We will make it. Don't be unsure of your salvation. It doesn't matter how old we are. All of us are going to pass from this life at times we don't know. Just remember, as long as we're doing what we need to for God, as long as we're following the New Testament law, as we're supposed to, in spirit and in truth, that's what it's all about. And by the heart, or with the heart, and by the commandments of God, we will live. We will get to heaven. We will get to meet Abraham, we'll get to meet Moses, we'll get to meet all the saints that went on before, we'll get to meet Paul and Peter and all those guys, and even many women of faith in the Bible as well. So, a beautiful thing to think about, and don't ever get too discouraged by the sin in this world and just the desolation of our society, because it's always going to be there. The society is going to get more and more wicked all the time. All right, I'll go ahead and leave it with y'all. If there's any need among us, once again, please come to the front as we stand and praise our God together.
close, and we'll sing the first verse of number 301 and then be dismissed in prayer.